from the pelvis to the head. But in scoliosis, the spine starts to take on an S-shaped curve rather than forming a straight line. Now, this isn't necessarily terribly damaging, but if it progresses for a long period of time, the curve can be quite severe. And about 2% of the population will develop scoliosis. Occasionally, spinal surgery is necessary to straighten this curvature out, and this is a very complex and difficult surgery in which metal rods are attached to the vertebral bones and align them so they have a straighter position. We're not precisely sure what causes this condition, but recently genetic investigators have found a gene called CHD7 that seems to be involved in the production of this curvature of the spine. CHD7 seems to be a protein that affects the function of the homeotic proteins of the spine, and therefore these proteins may be involved in the development of scoliosis. The axial skeleton ends at a structure called the sacrum, and the sacrum represents a triangular-shaped mass of bone that originally started out as 5 separate vertebrae, but which basically fuses to form one solid structure. The sacrum is penetrated by a number of holes of foramina that let nerves out of the spinal cord, and is connected to the pelvis by ligaments. The sacrum inserts itself into 2 fan-shaped bones of the pelvis, and you can feel the upper surface of these bones. These bones are called the iliac bones, and they make the dorsal margins of the pelvis. The ligaments that insert the sacrum into the ilium are kind of ingenious because they slant downwards, and therefore when the sacrum is pushed down into the pelvis with a great deal of weight, let's say we pick up a big box, and the weight that we're bearing with our arms increases, well, this pushes the sacrum down into the ilium, and it wedges it harder into the pelvis, and that makes the joint between the sacrum and ilium more stable. So it's an anatomically ingenious process that does this. The pelvis itself is composed of 3 bones, the iliac bones, or the ilium, on either side of the vertebral column. And then the iliac bones articulate with other bones called the ischial bones. The ischial bones have downward projecting, rounded processes called the ischial tuberosities. And if you happen to be sitting down when you're listening to this, you can feel the ischial tuberosities because these are the bony structures that we sit on. So they're easily palpable with your fingertips at the bottom of your pelvis. The anterior or ventral portion of the pelvis is composed of 2 bones that meet in the midline, and these bones are called the pubic bones. And together with the ilium and the ischium, they come together to form the pelvic basin. The outer surface of the pelvis contains cup-shaped cavities. Each cavity is called the acetabulum, and these are the cavities that the bones of the lower leg are inserted into. Well, this basically concludes our description of the skeleton of the axis of the body, and we want to touch a little bit about some of the muscles that move the axis of the body. Now, in this series,